My everyday miracle journey began as a child, listening to early morning sounds on the lake where I grew up, not far from here. In my experience, having the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to feel everyday miracles is an embodied awareness of noticing. I have expanded my capacity for noticing through a regular practice of yogic technologies, exercise, breathing, meditation, mantra, and chant, which helps regulate my glandular systems, tone my central nervous system, and harness the energy of my body, mind, and emotions. As part of our exploration together, we'll be chanting to recordings by Sanatam Kaur Khalsa, an American singer, songwriter, author, and peace activist who chants Sikh devotionals in Gurmukhi and English. By virtue of our body's evolutionary design and innate wisdom, merely creating the sounds of these words stimulates our brain in a way that can shift our perception, enhance our awareness, and our capacity to notice. Although Mitra and I heartily recommend that you give chant a chance, to open to an experience of untethered oneness and connection to the moment and each other through sound, please just don't take our word for it. Be good Unitarians. Practice healthy skepticism. This morning is an opportunity to engage your capacity for direct experience, and maybe you'll like what you feel. Mitra will light our chalice this morning. A woman whose journey through personal and professional trauma has shaped her into the teacher healer she is today, with certifications in Ayurvedic wellness counseling, yoga, meditation, chronic pain self-management, grief counseling, and plant medicine. Life is a gift for which we are grateful. We gather in community to celebrate the glories and the mysteries of this great gift.
Good morning. The term miracle has evolved to be defined by the Oxford English Dictionary as an extraordinary and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, attributed to a divine agency. This implies that a miracle is a violation of the nature of by the laws of nature. Are we not a part of nature? It also implies that it is a judgment visited only on certain individuals by some deity out there. St. Augustine, the 4th century theologian and philosopher, acknowledged a miracle is not contrary to nature, but to our knowledge of nature. Even the greatest minds of our times have concurred with this. The concept of what a miracle is still up for debate. Today, I wish to weigh in on this debate. I have nothing to prove, yet I have my life experience to share. And my life experience has shown me how this magnificent life is one miracle after another, if I am willing to see. It was this willingness to see things differently, to change my perspective, that revealed the abundance of miracles in my life. Whether I am awakening to a new day, enjoying a moment of tranquility, paying my bills or my taxes, healing body-mind pain, or moving through another challenge on this life adventure, I am constantly living a miracle, none of which is any greater than any other. Just to be on this life journey is a miracle, and the shift was a perspective change. As Marcel Proust so eloquently stated, the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. The question is, how can we do that? We each forge our own path, yet it is helpful to share our practices and experiences if we are to learn and to grow. So I would like to shift gears here and invite you to participate in a couple of exercises. I also offer a gentle reminder that the wisdom masters through all times, through all traditions, state that we should not undertake practices with blind faith. Instead, we take them into this laboratory of the body-mind, and we conduct the experiments. We commit to practice until we sense the energy created. From here, we discern if it resonates at this time or not. Throughout our time together this morning, I will invite you at certain times to close your eyes or to lower and soften your gaze as is comfortable for you. There is a reason for this. We take in most of our daily input into our awareness through our eyes, constantly scanning and seeking stimuli out there. The downside of this is that it can cut us off from the intuitive knowing that comes from focusing on the sensations within the body-mind. With closed eyes or a soft downward gaze, we can more easily attune to the wisdom within. For most of my life, I never gave much thought to miracles, other than they were extraordinary events that happened to a select few in faraway lands. Essentially, they were fairy tales. This life of mine unfolded. There was some happiness, some sorrow, some challenges, nothing I perceived as out of the ordinary. In 2001, I joined an electronics engineering training program with the Navy, where I encountered a major shift in my worldview. This would bring me to deep inner healing and into a new relationship with the world and my place in it. With a spinal injury in 2004 that was not only denied by the training and medical staff, but used as a constant source of harassment for 10 months in an overtly malicious attempt to destroy me, personally and professionally. I was literally beside myself. I was posted to Esquimalt in 2005, and as a shell of my former self, I tried to continue with my career until I had a motorcycle accident in September 2005. I broke both wrists, dislocated my right knee, and suffered multiple soft tissue injuries in my lower legs and feet. This was my first opportunity to be still with my thoughts and my feelings about what had transpired over the past 18 months of my life. I was recovering physically, preparing to return to work full-time when my father passed away suddenly in February 2006. Overwhelmed and unable to deal with all the loss and grief in my life, I took extra time off work. I returned once again on a graduated return to work program in March until one day in May, I simply could not sit down. And my physician at this point let me know about the severity of my injury. She thought I was aware of the disc herniation for the simple fact that it was on my medical file. Results that were not revealed to me at the time of testing, nor at any time during my engineering program. I was referred to a neurosurgeon immediately. He sensed my resistance to the surgery and compassionately agreed to allow me the opportunity to restore and heal with time and a prescribed gentle exercise routine. The injury had progressed too far. I had my first emergency spinal surgery in September 2006. Soon, I lost strength in my left leg, causing me to fall frequently, and in May 2007, I had my second emergency surgery. I attended pain clinics and rehab programs as I learned to deal with the life-changing ramifications of the failed surgeries and the chronic pain. I retired from the military in 2009. I became passively suicidal, and in December, I called Veterans Affairs to engage the services of a psychotherapist. It would take several months until May or June of 2010 to trust enough to open up and share my experiences of the previous 6 years of my life. Opening and sharing. This was key. This was the doorway to miracles. I could not imagine what was about to unfold in my life. The inner voice was speaking to me more often, essentially guiding me through a blueprint of healing. Something within me started to drive me to seek out a meditation teacher. Meditations began to overtake me as I relaxed back into my easy boy to ease the pain. The main visions were of me in the prime of my cross-country running life, in my favorite running shoes, on my favorite trails. I became highly aware of my breath, physical sensations in the body, perspiration. It was as if I was actually running cross-country again. With the physiological changes, I knew something profound was happening. I was blessed to have a physiotherapist to listen to me to deeply hear what I was saying. He wisely advised me on how not to strive too hard to attain that state again and how to work with that desire. He also introduced me to Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Full Catastrophe Living. As I devoured this book, I joined the library and signed out books on self-help and others from different spiritual traditions, particularly Hinduism and various Buddhist lineages. Simultaneously, I began journaling again, helping me create order in the chaos of my life. I was using all these tools to dive into deep self-study, self-reflection. I was learning to watch my thoughts how I related to them. As I learned to objectively observe my thoughts, I was awed by the incessant and insidious narration of my day-to-day life, how constant thoughts were depleting me and working against my body-mind complex. Without judgment and with a kind, curious attention, I began to question the truth of this narration, my stories. The persistent and insistent flow of thoughts. When finally I received the insight that I was not, in fact, those thoughts, it liberated me from emotional and mental turmoil. I began to change the narrative, and eventually I began to release my stories held in my physical body. During that summer, I continued on my quest for healing. By September, I was directed to a meditation and yoga store where I found someone who guided me to a sacred healing chant at a yoga studio near my home. She also became a dear friend and a gentle guide for me on my journey. I found the studio and was disheartened to see two flights of stairs leading to the studio. For me, it may as well have been Mount Everest. I considered leaving and then thought, I have nothing left to lose. My newfound friend was there. She ushered me into the studio where she had set up a chair and apologetically left. I was very self-conscious at that time, walking with a cane and very slowly. It didn't help that I was sitting on a chair amongst a room full of people sitting on the floor. And the teacher looked at me, smiled, and welcomed me without judgment or questions. Thankfully, the lights immediately dimmed and the music started. Foreign words poured from the people in the room. I was fixated on the exit, as I usually was in any structure away from my home. And as the chanting of these foreign sounds filled up the space, I began to see in my imagination black vortices of black energy swirl around the room. I was feeling nauseous as the energy of all my negativity, my thoughts, my emotions, my pain body came up. I wanted desperately to dissociate. I wanted more to run screaming from that room. Thankfully, that anxious self-consciousness prevented me from doing just that. I imprisoned myself upon that chair for 1 hour until the chanting ended. I had managed to sit still through the discomfort. The lights came up. I put my head down, peeled myself from the chair, and headed for the exit. As the others descended the stairs, I moved to the end of the balcony. I remember grasping that handrail, taking a deep breath, and noticing the remarkable thought that arose. My life has just changed forever. What a bizarre thought after such a dark and uncomfortable experience. I had no context for this thought at the time, yet it is a truth I live to this very moment. This was the moment I experienced the Guru, the shift from darkness to light. The word Guru in Sanskrit is actually two words, Gu meaning darkness and Ru meaning light or radiance. When you find the guru, the inner teacher, the one that takes you from darkness to light, and it exists in every one of us, the miracle is manifest. I attended the chanting sessions over the next couple of weeks, joined the 5 a.m. Wednesday morning classes. As an insomniac, I was thrilled to find there were other people in my community awake at this time. It was at one of these classes I met my soon-to-be meditation teacher. I dove into the Kundalini yoga practices. I learned what I could in class and self-guided online, and developed my meditation practice under the direction of my meditation teacher. I continue to self-reflect and read from the wisdom teachers of other traditions and to work through the post-traumatic stress in therapy. Within 6 months, I weaned myself off anti-panic attack medications, anti-anxiety medications, antidepressants, and sleeping medications. I would soon attend a chanting concert with the queen of Sikh chanting in the West, Sanatan Kaur Khalsa. The energy of that concert would set the stage for an experience the following day, which I would see as my next miracle in context. I would see purely through the eyes of my heart. I was at home resting. Then spontaneously, I did some yoga postures until my focus settled into a modified camel pose, a heart-opening position. I went outside and stood still in the middle of my backyard, appreciating what a beautiful March day it was. Suddenly, my vision went black. In my imagination, I saw two tectonic plates clash, one slid under the other and part again. They clashed and parted again. It was probably after the third time that they clashed and parted that I saw a core of light. Then I became that core of light, my soul. There was then an awareness of the energy of my body. I became aware my body was being infused by my higher self, my inner teacher. I became aware of opening my eyes, and everything was different. I saw the energy in everything. Everything was imbued with a golden light, clear, brilliant, sparkling. The grass, the water, the trees, the air, the sky. Next, the sound of the ravine at the back of my house exploded into my field. Then I heard the insects, the birds, the trees, the breeze, all in wordless communion. The smell of foliage and springtime blooms perfumed the air, seemingly passing through me. All my senses were heightened, and I felt permeable. Then, a vision of a violet-colored butterfly feeding on the divine nectar at the core of light appeared and flew away free. As it flew away, the inner voice whispered, "With great power comes great responsibility." I saw the hand holding the golden needle, weaving me into this fabric of life with the golden thread. This was symbolic not only of the transformation, the miracle, but of my place in the cosmos. I came completely back to my body. This was a profound experience that took me a while to integrate. For weeks, I referred to it as the transformation, and I felt a block of energy in my body every time I had this thought. About 1 month later, I looked into the mirror and didn't recognize the person looking back. Within a few more weeks, I realized every moment is a moment of transformation. Miracles abound. This was a deep realization of impermanence. Everything constantly changing. Nothing lasts forever. And every moment offers a quarter second where we have the power to choose. As Viktor Frankl wrote in his small yet powerhouse volume, Man's Search for Meaning, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response is our freedom and our growth. As I stated earlier, opening and sharing, this was key. This was the doorway to miracles, and my response was a sacred yes. We have these experiences to peek behind the veil, if you will, to see how things truly are. It feels in those moments like we're stepping outside of space and time. And we often ignore these moments out of misunderstanding or fear, or simply dismiss them due to a lack of context. But what if we turn this fear into excitement, or we looked at these moments with a childlike sense of curiosity or wonderment? We always have the opportunity to look at things differently. This is our invitation into miracle perception. So closing the eyes or lowering and softening the gaze, I invite you to think of a profound experience when you knew something outside of your ordinary day-to-day existence had occurred. It may have been an experience in nature, in childbirth, or witnessing a birth. Perhaps being present for a death, silently sitting with your morning coffee, creating art, or some kind of conscious movement, perhaps in song, chant, prayer, or meditation. Open yourself to this for a few moments. Reflect on your experience now without self-judgment. My hope is that you will share this with someone, at least one other person today, perhaps over tea or coffee in the Lion Hall. Share open-heartedly, and if someone is sharing with you, deeply listen and bear witness. Do not judge yourself, do not judge the other. Remember to express gratitude for sharing and for bearing witness, for opening the doorway to miracles. This is a very healing, powerful, and empowering practice. To conclude, I would like to take us to the root of the word miracle, the Latin miraculum, meaning object of wonder. For me, the root of the word, I would define miracle as the wonder-filled moment when it is clearly seen as it is. It is the perception of the extraordinary in the ordinariness of everyday life, alone or in relationship. When I make the choice to wipe clear the lens of perception, to see through the eyes of the heart, I am open to welcome each moment as another miracle and to open myself to expand my knowledge of the truth of the nature of things, how things really are. Again, closing the eyes or lowering and softening the gaze, turning our attention within. Here you sit in this body electric, in its spaciousness, with its processes of breathing, heart beating, blood pumping, brain and nervous system processing sensory and perhaps extrasensory input. Trillions of cells doing what they do to keep you alive, all without your input. Also, you have your mental, emotional, and spirit-filled aspects where you can make choices that will affect all aspects of your life. I invite you to see yourself as I see you, a person full of wonder, a miracle, just because you are all of this. You are miraculum, an object of wonder. And the world is incomplete without your presence. You are a cell in this body of humanity, a beautiful thread in this fabric of life. I invite you to see with new eyes through the lens of miracles.